If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat thoughts to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's going to start here.
Yes, yes.
Wait a second, who's that? Oh. It's Bren Solo.
Uh-oh.
It's I'm the co-host with the co-most who's riding solo.
The up down, what is it? The up down left right.
The left right left kid is rocking dolo tonight. My esteemed colleague, co-host, and friend Vinny is under the weather, so I'm rocking this guy one for you guys tonight, solo. This is episode 63. I got Billy with me, our esteemed producer, and Billy's gonna rock as a Billy. What would you call yourself tonight? A part co-host? You don't want to be on the whole thing, but you want to be there for most of it.
Yeah, I'll add a little banter with you so you don't feel so lonely.
This is one lonely island right now. I hope everybody had a good week. Here we are. Here we go. We had some exciting fights. One fight. Well, actually, one big fight to talk about, and it might have opened up a lot of other fights. Fight itself might not have been so big, but it does open up that whole division. Before we get into that, got some weird news, and I know, Billy, that this isn't your forte here, but supposedly, rumor has it, Canelo Alvarez will fight Jermall Charlo at 168 pounds in May, and then Terrence Crawford will move up to 168 pounds to challenge Canelo, 3 weight divisions above his last division. Just seems very absurd. I wonder if there's going to be a catch weight, just be a prize fight, no titles at stake, just for bragging rights, pound for pound supremacy. But these are 2 top pound for pound guys. Canelo, arguably the face of boxing, against Terrence Crawford, who this podcast and its listeners have as the number one pound for pound fighter in the world. This would be a tough task, tall task for Mr. Crawford. I'm not sure if we see this actually happening, but it's pretty crazy if it does. Bill, I don't know how to describe this or kind of equate this to other sports, but Canelo has been performing at a high level at 168 pounds, Crawford at a higher level at 147 pounds, but you're talking a 21 pound 3 division difference. This is we're stepping into Ray Robinson territory, moving up to light heavyweight when he was a middleweight, when there was no super middleweight and there was no junior middleweight. To be perfectly honest with you, a 36-year-old Terrence Crawford, I honestly don't know if it happens.
I mean, what's the biggest challenge for someone to do that?
What's the biggest challenge? You mean like who's done anything like that?
No, like for the individual to gain and go up in those.
Yeah, I mean, it would be almost unheard of in modern times. 20 years ago, Roy Jones moved up to heavyweight and beat John Ruiz. He beat the lowest hanging fruit in the heavyweight division. He beat like the worst heavyweight and then moved back down. But he famously got knocked out twice in moving back down, and it probably shortened his career by moving up so far and then moving back down. Your body just doesn't you know, respond, especially right. once you hit your mid 30s. So I don't know if this is like a swan song for Terrence Crawford, where he's just like, I've done everything I can in the sport. I might as well take on the biggest challenge possible. See what I get at the end of it. And if he beats Canelo, I mean, we're putting him in a conversation of top 20 all time. This is a huge legacy thing. If Canelo beats him, doesn't really make Canelo look any bad or worse, depending on what Canelo takes beyond that. So leading, you know, doing this would just be, it would sell a lot of tickets. It would put a lot of eyeballs on things. But it doesn't do anything for Canelo's legacy, does everything for Crawford's legacy. It does a lot for both of their bank accounts. I'm not sure if we see it. I think likely we see Canelo Charlo, Jermall Charlo, the bigger Charlo in May 5th. There's a Canelo fights every Cinco de Mayo and every September. So this is, he sort of took the baton from Floyd Mayweather to do the same thing in the last half of Floyd's career. He fought twice a year, fought in May, fought in September. Those are dead times for other sports.
Right.
So you're not quite into the World Series yet. It's the beginning of the football season. You're not quite into like the NBA finals, right? So you're just starting like the NBA playoffs. It's not hot yet. And baseball ain't doing shit in May. And frankly, I don't even know if they have to worry about that stuff anymore because no one watches baseball. So like baseball ratings, like through the fucking basement. And basketball, I think, is picking up, right? But it hasn't been what it was.
Not as it used to, no.
No. So this is sort of like the old guard would have their biggest fighters fight in May and September because it avoids any distractions. But that said, there's other news. You know, we talked about Rolly last week. Rolly Romero apparently split from his trainer. I don't know if that means anything going into his supposed fight with Isaac Cruz. There's been more and more drama with Oscar De La Hoya and Ryan Garcia. Again, I'm not really paying too much about this. I don't want to get too into the weeds with this stuff because this is like, it's like a Real Housewives type of shit. That's what this has become with this younger generation of, these fighters, they're fighting on Instagram.
My wife watches a lot of Real Housewives, and I'm not gonna lie, I've been pulled into it.
Have you?
A few occasions.
I can honestly say, yeah. I've never watched a Real Housewives episode. No. I don't even understand it. They're not actually housewives, right? Don't most of them have jobs?
They all became famous and then branched into.
Yeah,
but like, they were originally housewives.
Just doing nothing.
Right.
Right. Getting Botox, breast implants. All right. Now, is it like real drama? Do they like cheat on each other's husbands?
It's real drama that is really, you know, produced by the.
Right. Dun, 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 they zoom
there's
in.
A ton of drama, but, you know, it feels fake at this point.
Right. Like there'll be like tight shots and it's like, but it's mostly scripted.
There's like this one, husband who like hangs out but he's like a rich doctor and he just like occasionally like every third party gets like blacked out drunk and like causes a scene. He's my favorite of them all.
That's what you model your life after now?
Right. Yeah. Well, kind of was already that way.
Yeah.
Just not a doctor.
Right. We've all been there in terms of, you know, maybe not, I don't call it blacking out. I call it not remembering, you know, I just didn't remember. Was it because of the sauce? I don't know. Maybe, you know. So I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much you guys want to jump into all that stuff. In terms of the news, I don't. The news is really what happened this weekend, with the fights, and that is gonna cause a lot more news and at least rumors and innuendo based on what. The result of the Jaime Munguia John Ryder fight, which was on DAZN Saturday night. There was the WBC silver, which is basically like the third place of that division for that sanctioning body's belt at stake, which makes no fucking sense to me. But John Ryder, tough journeyman guy against Jaime Munguia, who has moved up and kind of grown into this weight class. this was going to be a face first, blood and guts, who can hurt whose fist the worst type of fight. And Munguia came out victorious. But I'll get into it. Ryder didn't look like he wanted to be there. He didn't look like motivated. The broadcast team ahead of the fight started talking about Ryder saying, if I lose this fight, that's it. I'm going to retire. Right. Anytime you hear some shit like that, the guy's going to be going through the motions. It's got to be hard for these guys to go through these camps. Basically, no, if they don't score a knockout, they're going to lose a decision. You know, this type of fighter. Right. So from the opening bell, Ryder looked flat. He had a few moments, but his normal vim and vigor, so to speak, wasn't there, which his vim and vigor is typically just a rough and tumble, crowd you guy. He can be at times considered dirty. He's a brawler. And then you have Munguia, who's he's now listed at 6 foot. I remember when he first debuted, seems like 10 years ago, he was like 5'9 or 5'10, but he looks bigger. He's taller. He's older. He's a father now. And I really didn't have Ryder in the fight at all from Jump Street. There's not much to talk about with skills here because both guys, these are not technicians. These are not guys that are going to wow you like the guys we mentioned before, like Canelo and Terrence Crawford. This is a brawl. Every fight, Munguia is fun to watch because every fight basically gets reduced to a brawl. This was no different. There were moments too where Ryder was trying to pull some of his dirty tactics, so to speak, and Munguia did it right back. So he seems to be coming into his own in terms of gamesmanship, as they call it. But yeah, this was not, again, not a huge skillful match, not a huge skillful event. Munguia scored the TKO in the ninth round. Ryder's corner was trying to stop the fight, I don't know, maybe 45 seconds to a minute beforehand, and Ryder was looking towards his corner. I think in the fourth or fifth round, I tweeted out, Ryder doesn't look like he's just going through the motions. Then he had a couple of comeback rounds after that, but anytime Munguia put the gas on, Ryder kind of relented. And that's unlike him. Usually he stands tall. Canelo broke his nose in like the second round. The guy fought 10 rounds with a broken nose. Munguia knocked him down 4 times. I actually can't believe he got up from the second to last knockdown. Munguia hit him with a huge right hand, put him on his stomach, and I didn't think he was going to get up. He got up, so he showed heart, but all in all, the referee had to stop the fight. The odds were for 10 and a half rounds. It didn't Pazzi go pick, that way. Pazzi picks. Yeah. This, I think, what did Pazzi say? He said it was going to end.
Take the under.
Take the under. But I think he said it was going to end in the seventh. Doesn't matter. He said, I'm not trying to just to besmirch him because he was in the minority of picking the under and it was a good pick. I think he did mention that Ryder shot shop worn, and he said a shop worn guy is going to get sparked out. Either way, Pazzi was right. He picked the under. It's like a huge personal win for Munguia, but in the scope of things, I don't really find this like as big a win as the DAZN broadcasters would lead you to believe. The way they were talking about it, it was like the upset of the century, and it's an automatic bid for the Canelo sweepstakes, which I don't have to explain this to anybody. Two Mexicans in the same weight class, who are both action fighters. Canelo, again, a much more skilled tactician, a much more skilled fighter, much better fighter, was a much better fighter at this age. I think it would do you. Yeah, anytime you have two Mexicans fighting, they show up for fights. They could do it somewhere in some sort of giant stadium and it would sell out, huge gate. It would do huge television numbers. it's just another thing. Like, what does this do for Canelo's career? Does everything for Munguia's career? Does very little for Canelo's career. Munguia didn't show me any wrinkles or any nuance to his game that would, I would think, that would give Canelo any problems. He's still a guy who abandons defense for offense, and a guy like Canelo, who is a sharp counterpuncher, fantastic defensive fighter. I think he would counter him all day and then eventually lead. And I don't think Munguia gets out of that fight. But again, money talks. So, you know, I think we might, there's a chance we could see that fight. So that's also in the mix for what I'm going to just start referring to as the Canelo sweepstakes. Canelo is entering the twilight of his career. But he might not have ever been more popular as now. So what happens is you have a popular fighter who's entering the twilight of his career. Everyone's going to be lining up to fight this guy. If he shows the slightest slippage, right? Everyone's going to want to fight him now. So you're going to have everybody knocking on that door. I think Munguia said it would be an honor to share the ring with him. Oscar De La Hoya, Munguia's promoter, was calling for the Canelo fight, said he'd work with him. Canelo now is in some sort of contract with PBC. This was Golden Boy via DAZN. So I don't know how that would work in terms of the promotional outfits. But again, there's a chance we see it. What this could and does and maybe will open up is you have a lot of guys at this weight now all crashing into each other. I personally think what I'd like to see is Jaime Munguia and Edgar Berlanga mix it up. Berlanga is fighting soon, I think in February. And if he wins, as he's supposed to and expected to, I'd like to see those two young guys clash at the weight. You have a Puerto Rican-Mexican rivalry. I think Munguia is better at this point than Berlanga. If you asked me 3-4 years ago, I would have said Berlanga. Berlanga has shown zero evolution in his game. Munguia, for all the criticism I lay on him, has at least shown some semblance of pacing. Where he's not gassing out anymore. He's also not sucking weight down to 54 or 60. Seems to be much more comfortable at this weight. And again, relatively big guy. Berlanga's a relatively big guy. So I'd like to see these two. But that doesn't leave... Again, I'm also saying this not knowing what's going on with what Vinny and I mentioned in the past few weeks, was that Amazon Prime is going to be airing... boxing, right? So PBC moved over to Amazon Prime. That's going to be their host, is Amazon Prime. I don't know what boxers are going to go with them. I don't know if it's the whole roster. The first card is Tim Tszyu. We talked about this. Keith Thurman. I think Tim Tszyu is going to retire Thurman. Thurman's effectively almost retired. And Isak Cruz and Rolly Romero. That's the first card. I think they're going to see how it goes. And it's a pay-per-view, which is fucking disgusting. That should be free. No way that should be.
Wait, pay-per-view, even if you're an Amazon subscriber?
Yep. So, wow. So Amazon's just basically supplying a platform for them to air on. And then Amazon will take whatever residuals they get. I haven't heard anything about the split. I don't know how any of that works. If anybody does, write us in at keotbboxing@gmail.com. If you, and I don't write me in with what you think, you know, write us in if you have some hard facts, or if you have any idea how this works with streaming rights and hosting. So that's really what this is now. Everything is hosting, because we're moving off of traditional cable networks onto these streaming platforms, which, if you've explained this to any boomer, they don't get it. Like, what do you mean streaming? What does that mean? I'm still watching it on my TV. Does that mean I have to watch it on the computer?
My father-in-law had to get Peacock because he really wanted to watch that one playoff football game this year that they only played on Amazon.
Yes, the one, the Chiefs game.
Yeah, and it was a hilarious
undertaking?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was fun.
My father-in-law did the same thing. He said, well, if they're going to put it on here, I want Peacock. And I think whatever cable subscriber they have, which I think is Optimum, gave them like free Peacock for like 2 months or whatever. He didn't even understand how to like get it on. You know what I mean? He's like, what channel is it on? I'm like, it's on Peacock. It's like, what do you mean? How do I get to Peacock? And I'm like,
now my father-in-law is a big Yellowstone fan because he can watch it.
He's like, just on demand, right?
I got to use it.
Yeah. My parents, I want to, a couple of years ago, they started to figure out Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not on Netflix, they don't watch it. You know what I mean? Because it's just all on demand. They just sit there, they turn on the Netflix. But if you ask them how they still think like Netflix is a channel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I put on Netflix. And then, you know, I'm like, do you understand that they have a database with a memory? You're accessing that memory. You're bringing that stuff into your, you know, via your cable provider, which provides your internet provider, not cable provider. I should correct myself. So essentially what's happening is Amazon will have did you watch any football or baseball on Amazon last year?
Yeah,
I watched a couple things. So how does it work, Bill? Explain it to us, because I didn't watch any baseball on Amazon. So you just go on your Amazon.
Usually it shows up during that time as like the dashboard, like yes, first thing you see. Right. When you just hit play and it says play from beginning or play live. Just
and,
like,
and you get the little memory wheel and then boom, it catches you like wherever it is live. Right. So for those of you at home, if you guys have DAZN or ESPN, that's how it just functions just like that. So again, all of this shit is just hosting. I don't think Amazon bought any rights. I think they're just charging a hosting rate.
Right. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix gets into the game because they just announced they're going to get WWE Monday Night Raw in 25.
Well, Vince is in the shits right now. So
that's literally.
Dude, did you read those texts?
This is the right podcast to discuss that one.
Did you read the text?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did.
Oh, I can't. I blushed when I read those.
I mean, billionaire's got to be a billionaire, you know?
I guess that's pretty wild shit. I mean, we just mentioned Oscar De La Hoya. Have you ever heard of a lot of the escapades of Oscar De La Hoya?
No, actually, I haven't.
That will make Vince blush. Stuff, yeah. There's pictures and video of Oscar doing all sorts of stuff. They don't call him Oscar De La Fishnets for no reason.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And someone released the pictures, and he didn't deny it, and he was just like, "Hey man, you know, it's what I'm into." So, so yeah, the Amazon stuff. I don't know how much steam it's going to pick up. PBC does have a rabid fan base. They have a big fan base. So, I mean, I think their core fans will follow the fighters they want to see wherever they go. I just don't know what fighters are going to be happy being on Amazon Prime with limited opposition. I don't think PBC has the cap. PBC's big thing was they had Showtime capital. They had CBS capital.
Well, right? You don't have to have a Prime. The problem with like football and baseball doing it is you have to have a membership to watch. So now you got to sign up for something.
Right.
If they're just hosting it, like you said, and you pay for it like you would if it was anywhere else, pay-per-view.
Right.
It's not that all that crazy. If they're saying you got to have a membership as a Prime member to watch.
And do a pay-per-view. I mean,
that's what
DAZN does.
Okay.
So you pay $19.99 a month, and then what you get is a premium rate for pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which that's why me and Vinny on the show always rail on that, because the whole thing was this is the death to pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is make our money when we're not having fights, right? Right. So right. If we charge $9.99 a month, no matter what, they gave us an introductory deal. So, I mean, this is years back, but a bunch of us boxing fans signed up for it, right? And you were locked. If you went past that introductory deal, it was $20 a month. But the idea is there's no pay-per-view. So what you're paying for fights you normally wouldn't pay for, essentially, we'll make our money back in just tons of people signing up for this.
Right.
It didn't, I don't think it ever, it still didn't, you know, benefit them to do it that way. And DAZN, again, it's not limited to like just boxing. So DAZN does car racing, boxing, darts. Darts are huge in the UK. So like if you put it on like a Wednesday, they got
they get wild at the dart matches.
Yeah, they get wild. So you can like, I've watched it on accident and been like, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I used to play a bar dart league.
So did I. Yeah. Okay,
maybe we can do a live stream of us having a dart match.
If Vinny was on the show, he'd be like, you two are fucking disgusting. Fucking disgusting goon shit.
That's a good Vinny impression. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. He would be thoroughly disgusted by me and you in a dive bar playing darts. What'd you play? Cricket?
Yeah, 3-0-1 games.
Yeah, yeah. We played. I was in a 9-ball league too. Same around the same time, my early 20s. But so DAZN has other things to offer in terms of sports and in terms of DAZN having a big presence with Matchroom being a UK company, and now tapping Golden Boy. So they're not beholden to like one promotional outfit. The one thing that like I get the impression from PBC, they want to be the only promotional outfit on each network. And essentially at the end, that hurts them because it limits them to, you know, who will fight who. So it remains to be seen. I'm not like thrilled about it. But anyway, back to what we were talking about with this Munguia win and the way he won. It's, again, to most fans, it was a big knock, like a big flashy sort of knockdowns, TKO. The division's pretty stacked. I mean, you got Canelo. We mentioned Edgar Berlanga. Obviously, Jaime Munguia. Jermall Charlo, who we mentioned before. David Benavides, who we haven't mentioned. He's been calling out Canelo for years. That's the fight that the fans want to see. That's the fight I want to see. That's the fight this show wants to see, is David Benavides, Canelo Alvarez. We may not get that, but we might get David Benavidez, Jaime Munguia. We might get David Benavidez, Jaime Munguia, Edgar Berlanga winner. We got David Benavidez, Caleb Plant, but Caleb Plant needs a dance partner. So you have the guys I mentioned before. Does Caleb Plant fight Jaime Munguia? Jaime Munguia is going to have a lot of options. Again, looking good against a guy like John Ryder, who he was favored to beat, right? But not beat in the fashion he did, does a lot of favors for Munguia and opens up the division to a bunch of potential matchups. It's just a matter of where these matchups land. So I don't know. I personally want to see Munguia Berlanga, and I'd like to see, obviously, Benavidez Canelo. That's the fight that needs to be seen, but it looks like we're going to get Canelo Jermall Charlo, and if you guys remember, in I think it was late September, Canelo fought Jermall Charlo, Jermall's twin brother. So knock off both Charlos, they're PBC fighters. I'm assuming that's going to land on Amazon Prime and be like a $90 pay-per-view. Going forward for Munguia, I think he's just going to have to sit tight and wait, unfortunately for him. Again, he wasn't supposed to knock Ryder out like that or stop him like that. So this does him a lot of favors. He performed great. I just don't see him. I still don't see him beating the elites. He didn't do anything to me that overly impressed me. Ryder was just an underwhelming opponent. Trying not to take too much away from Munguia's victory, but Ryder didn't look like he wanted to be there. But again, we have an interesting mix now at 168 pounds. So, I mean, you're set to either go broke or make a lot of money. Hopefully we get fights at this weight. And, you know, I personally, again, gave my opinion, but the fight that the world wants to see is Canelo Benavidez. They're both PBC guys. I think they're going to work out the ins and outs of Amazon. If Amazon offers a huge deal, I think you're more likely to see it. If Amazon says, look, if you guys make this fight on this platform and get us this, we'll extend the deal beyond that. Because again, Vinny and I talked about it last week. They haven't divulged the workings of this deal. It just says a multi-year deal. Multi-year could mean two. Multi-year right. could, you know, I mean, it doesn't, they're being very cryptic and coy with what they're saying is so as not to say too much, which if you've been a boxing fan longer than 5 minutes, you know, they basically lie. So who knows what the fuck is going to happen.
Well, the good thing is I followed Pazzi's
Yeah.
and came up a little bit. Not much. Well, playing right. playing it fair.
Tell us tell us how you bet.
I just took the under straight up.
Straight up took the under. All right.
15 won me 25, you know, taking the advice, not getting too greedy. There just kind of trying to build that bankroll back up a little bit.
And you said that
that's when I'm going to strike.
It said you said that it wouldn't let you parlay though, right?
I didn't even try on that fight.
Okay. Cuz I noticed that, you know, you and I spoke about this before the show, but I guess we'll, you know, talk about it for the listeners. Some fights will let you parlay, but I think when there's a heavy favorite,
they don't give you a lot of options to parlay. Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to mention the betting app I use, which, by the way, I forgot to put my bets in for this. So I was going to go with Pazzi Picks and I wound up not mushing it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Why don't you just stay off the
betting apps?
The betting apps for a little bit.
All right. I'll let you get your bankroll up. But if you want to talk about old Brendo to mush here. So Saturday, I sit down to watch the Knicks game. This is a little non-boxing talk, right? I sit down to watch the Knicks game. I'm like, wow, Knicks are playing good, right? They're the same in the win column as your Sixers. Okay. So I'm like, maybe we can get past the Sixers, you know, go into this, this upcoming All-Star break. You know what I mean? With, you know, being the top four in the division, top three in the division. And in the fourth quarter, Julius Randle dislocates his shoulder. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched a fucking Knicks game in 2 years. I put the Knicks game on. Knicks are playing well, and Randle blows his shoulder out. So I haven't even looked. Have you heard any status on him yet?
No, I don't follow closely enough outside of the Sixers to really pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's going to miss multiple weeks now. So, you know.
You're not allowed to watch anymore.
I'm not allowed to watch anymore. Yeah, it's no matter what. I think what happened with me was, you know, I'm a huge Yankee fan, as you can tell. I got a lot of championships, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s. And I've seen the Giants are my football team, right? I've seen them win 4 Super Bowls. So in my lifetime, I think now the championship gods are like, nah, you're not going to fucking get any more. You're certainly not going to get the Knicks, right? I rode with the Knicks all through the 90s and it's just heartbreaking, you know, playing against Jordan. So that's why I don't latch on to a fighter per se.
There you go.
I just like the sport. I just root for the sport. I root for good fights to be made. So we haven't had much, though, in terms of good fights lately. Vinny and I have not been able to, you know, Munguia Ryder was like a big fight, all things considered. 2024 is starting off pretty slow, but we're going to heat up in February. So February is going to get hot after this week. And since we're weekly now, you know, we're only previewing, you know, we preview whatever fight's coming up this weekend. And this weekend, we have Conor Benn, Peter Dobson. Conor Benn, as most of you know, is on a road to redemption after failing. Popped hot for the old juice, the little juice in his cup, Bill.
Okay.
What you know, and you guys know my feeling on that. He fought a tough Rodolfo Orozco in September, and he's fighting an undefeated fighter in Peter Dobson. Peter Dobson is a local guy from the Bronx. You know, he hasn't had a fight in, let's see, I'm looking. He hasn't had a professional fight in almost 2 years, year and a half. So I don't know why that is. He was on a run for a while. He's 33 years old. I'm trying to see where the contracted weight is. It's going to be in Vegas. So it looks like Ben is going to be fighting a lot of fights over here. It's a welterweight fight. So 147-pound limit. Ben's 22-0. Dobson's 16-0. They're lining guys up for Conor Ben to look good against. Unfortunately, a local guy in Peter Dobson is a guy that Conor Ben's supposed to look good against. I believe Conor Ben will look good against Peter Dobson. There's not a lot of flash or sizzle to Peter's game. He's a fundamental guy. Good 1-2, strong. But I think Conor Ben is on a different level. I'm not sure if the post bad drug test Conor Ben will be the same as the pre-bad drug test Conor Ben. Conor Ben was on a knockout streak. He was fighting at a very high level of energy. His last fight post-suspension, he didn't look the same. I don't know if it's ring rust. He was out of the ring for a while due to the suspension, or if it's because he's changed his diet, so to speak. He claims his sample was tainted due to bad eggs. Those eggs containing.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You get, go to, depending on the diner I go to, sometimes they just come out ready to rage, someone. It's just going nuts, well, that omelet really had me, off the rails. But I think this is going to end in probably the fifth or sixth round. I don't see it going the distance.
Is this going to be an official mushy move over here? What do we call this? We don't have a Pazzi pick out.
I think Ben's going to stop him in the sixth.
Okay, I don't think we're under is 7.5.
I'm picking the under.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I will be official, going with the over this week. 7.5.
Yeah. So my official pick is the under. I think Ben's got to make a statement in this fight. They're giving him a guy to make a statement against. Ben wants to get back in the mix at 147 pounds if that's where he decides to stay. Right now, that division, the welterweight division right now is a good division to try to get hot in. Let me just see where we're at in that division. So also on the card is Austin Ammo Williams. He's fighting a guy who's ranked like 150th. Ammo was a top prospect, but he's kind of cooled off. I don't know what's going on with his career. But I have a feeling that fight ain't going to go the distance. I think he stops his guy too. So let me see. Well, those guys never been knocked out, but he's only got 10 fights. He's fighting out of Germany by way of the Congo. I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce the guy's name. Armel Mabumba Yasa. I think Ammo's going to stop him. Anyway, back to Conor Ben. Right now, outside of Crawford and Spence, Conor Ben can make a name against guys like Jordanus Yugas, Stevie Spark, Alexis Roca, guys in the lower 10 to 15 of that division. Right now, he's fighting a guy who's unranked who hasn't fought in almost 2 years. So they could have made other fights for Conor Ben. They're making this fight so he can. I think they're planning on Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford going to leave the division wide open. So that means belts will be up for grabs, and with very limited risk. So I think that's why you're going to start seeing Conor Ben and his ilk more often, and fighting guys who, this is a pretty, big platform for a Peter Dobson fight. No disrespect to Peter Dobson, but anybody that's on the shelf for, 18 months to 2 years really doesn't get it. This is a big shot for him. So, Dobson's a local guy. I'd love to see an upset here, and you guys all know how I feel about drug cheats. I think they should be banned for life, so I'll be rooting for Dobson here. I just don't think it's going to happen. Again, this is a sport where a function of a promotional outfit is called a matchmaker. So they're not making this match for no reason, and they're trying to rebuild Conor Benn. Almost like, Bill, we've told you in the beginning of guys' careers, oftentimes you'll fight guys with either losing records or guys they know you can beat to try to, you know, to get him in there. So they're not really getting Ben. They're getting Ben in there tough enough. They're not really getting him in there tough. That makes sense. They're giving him guys that they know he can beat, but he'll get some rounds with. But I think Ben's going to come out and try to make a statement after the last fight, which was kind of a stinker. And Ben didn't look great. So, but he got that fight under his belt. He got that W under his belt. And now he's got Dobson, which I think he's going to try to blitz him, which he was doing consistently. So let's see if it was those were chemically enhanced blitzes. Let's see if those if that streak he was on was actually him, or if it was due to some foreign substance he was taking, which was giving him, you know, energy and power. I mean, he wasn't really a power guy, and then all of a sudden he started knocking people out. So, you know, it definitely raises an eyebrow, and definitely makes one think, you know, there could be something more to that. And of course, then he pops hot, but denies it, and it's boxing, so they give him a shot again. So, you know, Saturday night, guys. Let me see. When is that? I don't even know if it's Saturday night. Look at me, terrible here. I'm all off without this Pazzy, you know, my dance partner. So that's what day is the 3rd? So yeah, it's Saturday the 3rd. The fights the next week are like on Thursday, but we'll be back to cover those fights. So that's about it, guys, for the fights coming up. We went into Pazzy picks, Brendo picks, Mushy picks for this fight. So I'm picking Ammo Williams via TKO, KO. I didn't look at the odds for that one, Bill. I would say pick the knockout net, or pick money line. Just go with Austin Williams winning. So we'll see what happens. We got any mail?
We have light mail week. With that, our friend AV Julian checking in. He requotes the episode title, "Pounds, Baby Pounds," had me laughing maniacally. Props to whoever decided to pull that Jerky Boys reference to delineate this week's episode. Floored me. Brendan, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I'm a big Jerky Boys pieces. What the pounds, baby pounds? Frank Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O. But yeah, that was me. That was due to our pound for pound episode and pound for pound argument and pound for pound voting from our, not from Knocker Nation, from the Knockies. Gave us a wonderful response to Vinny's polls. Ayo. You know, we got a solid list now. Terrence Crawford number one, Naya Inoue number two, and the rest as follows. Okay, finish the rest of the
He goes on to say, while I acknowledge the fact Odrama Bin Laden pointed out about Bud being ring champion at both lightweight and junior welter, bear in mind those were in years 2014 and 2016-17. So in the discussion of pound for pound king to close 2023, where both Crawford and Inoue reign as ring champions in their respective divisions, and 2022 and earlier are an irrelevancy to me and any honest, rational human being fancying themselves a boxing aficionado. Oh, ooh, a lot of big words here. Would be slightly more impressed with the monster's achievements in 2023 vis-a-vis Crawford's.
All right.
Terrence Crawford takes the cake, but Inoue takes the crown, mantle, and scepter this year. Not mad at those whose perspectives differ. I just can't justify how or understand why, and that's okay, I guess.
Mm. Well, I mean, we'll eventually keep doing polls and stuff like that, because that was fun. But I got to hand it to the Nockies. They voted. They came out. They showed out, even though I'm a sore loser. And on Twitter, X, poll was in Inouye's favor. Instagram was the swing state, so to speak. And the votes went to Crawford. So we got to live with what we got to reap what we sow. We got to reap what we sow. But I don't know. Short episode tonight. Light episode tonight. Next week, Vin will be back, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. You know, again, we've really been kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel with these fights, you know, and we got some bangers next week. So, and the week after, you can find me at thekillerb24 on Twitter and at @I_no_that_kid on Instagram. And you can find Vinny at Box Cutter Pazzy.
Yes.
On IG and Vinny_Paz. Is that what it is? On Twitter? I'm going to look him up now.
You pay attention more than I do.
Let me look him up. Let me look him up. I got to do the kid justice. Paz. Yeah, it's Vinny_Paz on Twitter. Write us as always at keotbboxing@gmail.com, keotbboxing@gmail.com. And follow us at KEOTB Podcast on YouTube. Also, remember to like, subscribe, review, download, buy all of our merch. I don't know, just send me buckets of money. All that stuff matters. And it feeds the algorithm and engagement. So it gets this podcast to the top of other people's lists if they're into boxing. So, again, thanks for tuning in, guys. Sorry for the truncated, shortened episode. Not much to talk about. And, we'll be back next week, fully loaded.
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Knock 'em out the box, pass. Knock 'em out. Knock 'em out the box, beat.